simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Let's Talk Computers and Internet with BLH Computers in Springfield, Jacksonville, and Taylorville. Call now 629-7970 for answers to your questions about computers, hardware, software, and the latest electronic gadgets.
Go, go, Gadgetmobile!
Gizmos and games. Let's Talk Computers and Internet with BLH Computers on 92.7 WMAY, Springfield's news and talk.
Good morning, good morning. It's the BLH show with Brian. Well, Bull, Brian's not here. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, yeah. No worries. It was a late night last night with the football going on. And yeah, absolutely. Yep. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. A little chilly, not too bad. It's definitely that fall weather out where it's kind of colder in like the morning, early times, and then it gets a little bit warmer as the day goes on, which is great weather.
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly good weather for recycling events.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is our big season of recycling events, and we have Sherman today.
I will say your one-day event's going on right now. Sherman today?
Yep.
Awesome.
So that'll be there 9 to noon. If you have any electronics and you're in the Sherman area, it's more of a convenience location. So you wouldn't have to drive to Springfield or Taylorville or Jacksonville, one of our satellite stores, to recycle any of your electronics. If you've just been saving them in a garage or in a closet somewhere, or a lot of people have a drawer of just cables and the wall outlet that they've just been holding on to forever. And as soon as you recycle it, you'll probably end up needing it. That's how it goes. But
get rid of some of those old chargers. Maybe you got the new iPhone, 15, and now you don't need those other chargers. Recycle those.
The Apple event said that they will be going away from the Lightning cable to support the USB-C. It's still, the 10, I believe, and pass is still supported. So the USB-C goes up to the 14, I think. The Lightning cable goes up to the 14, I think.
Correct.
So
yes.
You'll still have that for quite a while, at least. But,
some people, like I said, some people are getting rid of their old phones, and, maybe they updated it, and, absolutely. And great time to bring out your recycle, your printers, your monitors, whatever the case is. Not having it in the garage like me. Like, I stockpiled mine in the garage.
Yeah, I have a closet that I put a bunch of my stuff in. And I work at BLH, so I am there literally 6 days a week. I've put stuff in my vehicle before that's also sat there for like a month because I either forget or I just don't take it inside the building. So it's certainly not unreasonable to think that you would hold on to electronics for an extended period of time. Most people just by default know, hey, I shouldn't throw this in the garbage. You don't feel right putting something like this just in the general rubbish, trash, garbage just by default. So you look into ways to recycle it, and that's what our location offers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then now you got Black Friday coming up.
Yes,
too.
We do.
Oh, man. Yep. Can you believe it's like, 2 months away?
Yeah.
Less than 2 months away.
Yeah, we've been working on our Black Friday sale since June, so three and a half months by this point. And of course, we always talk about it in April or something. We talk about it fairly early on. We only do one sale a year. It's Black Friday. It is the week before Thanksgiving and official Black Friday. We like to try and avoid the chaos of the actual Black Friday day itself. So we do it the week before. We have been working on it's basically going to be the same sale that we had last year, very similar models. There's nothing to really stand out or fantastic, but we will be including a USB flash drive with all purchases to do data backup.
Oh, that's always good to have that. Yeah. Oh, we've preached that on here quite a bit. Yep. Always have that little backup because you never know what's going to happen or if the file gets corrupted or, somebody, God forbid, hacks, or data breaches into your cloud service for some reason.
Backup is required.
Oh, yeah,
anything
absolutely.
That would be devastating for you to lose at this point in time, you should be making multiple backups of. Typically, cloud-based storage is a fairly reliable way to go about having at least one backup, but multiple backups are always required. With the flash drive, we'll also be kind of giving people at least like a little excerpt, something that, safe data storage process. Right. Don't leave it plugged into your computer at all point in time. Then it's just essentially a drive in the computer. And if the computer gets taken over, the drive attached to it typically is involved in that.
Or if lightning for some reason hits the computer, it could fry that.
Yep.
Could
any fry kind that of power drive. Issue. If you spill water or something on it, it could potentially fry it if it is attached to the machine. So, you'll just want to plug it in, transfer over to whatever you would need, do a backup. It's good to have these things done continually, but like Brian and I talk about, usually once a month or once a quarter, you do like your major, real, verify your backup, make sure everything is, your main one official backup is taken care of. And
I like having that physical media, because sometimes if I don't have that in my hand, you know, I guess I'm old school kind of like that. I don't always trust the cloud. I'm like, is it really going to be there? Yep. So I like having that physical piece in my hand, just like the old style games, you know, like the Super Nintendos and the old Nintendos.
I mean, one of the backup recommendations is to actually print things out. So print out photos, print out documents, and store them in a physical location so that you have a digital copy and you have a physical copy, just in case anything were to happen to the digital world.
Oh yeah.
Cloud-based storage is a great way to go about backing things up, but that is barred by internet access, and a lot of them are, you have to pay a fee to use their services. So if you can't afford your monthly data storage fee, you either lose that information or you lose access to it. And same with like the internet. We had the Comcast outage with the whole lightning storm like a month ago.
And you lost.
People just didn't have internet.
Right.
So you could get to it if you had a device that would connect to like satellite internet or
your cell phone, I guess.
Yeah. But if all you have is your computer and everything's on cloud-based storage and you don't have access to the internet, you don't have access to your backup.
Wow. Yeah.
So multiple backups are very good. Multiple forms of backup are very good as well.
And sometimes you don't always think about that too when you lose your internet. Like where is this being transferred or how is it being stored? And you may, it's just common. You get on your computer, oh, there it is. You know, you do your thing and not thinking about it.
Yeah, it's hard to realize that the internet by itself and these cloud-based storages are just other people's computers.
Yeah.
So when you save something to cloud-based storage, there is a physical real-world location where data is stored on somebody's computer or somebody's server, and you just, you go across the internet and you access that. So most of the time, the cloud-based storages are much higher security because they protect millions of people's data. You have to keep all of it separate. You have to absolutely ensure that there's no security breaches in any capacity. So cloud-based storage is a fairly reliable one, but it's just, it's somebody else's computer that there's a physical real-world location where it's saved at.
Wow, you see, it's just stuff you just don't think about all the time. Like I said, you take it for granted,
The internet is a really cool thing, and computers in general. I love computers and electronics. I'm very happy to be working on them, to be able to get down to the actual components, testing them. We thoroughly test all the components that we put inside of our machines. We have several scans and hardware tests that we run them through. So, I very much enjoy these computers.
I enjoy the computers too. And, we're talking about Black Friday, and I wanted to point out, if you have an older computer like Windows 7 or 8, Microsoft released a rare update for Edge on that. And I don't recommend, if you're running Windows 7, Windows 8, come see the guys here at BLH because you'll get that BLH guarantee. You know, if you need a computer, I wouldn't recommend, holding off on an older.
I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned that one, because that in specific, they're talking about Windows 7, Windows 8, which officially lost support in, what was it, I think 2019, 2020 maybe?
Yeah.
It has officially stopped support several years ago. It is not recommended to use Windows 7 or Windows 8, and it's definitely not recommended to use them on the internet. But Microsoft realizes that people still do. I mean, just because they say there's the cutoff, if you can't afford a new computer or if this computer works perfectly fine, there's really nothing wrong with it besides the behind-the-scenes security issues of it. You really should not be using this computer to get on the internet. But if you're going to use it anyways, several years after support stopped, they released a security update.
For Edge, yeah. I was just shocked when I read that. I'm like, really? They're releasing this update? They haven't supported this for forever. Yep. And I'm just like, wow, I wonder how many people are still using older computers. Or, I mean, I know some businesses still run, even probably XP. I've seen that in, when they've rebooted their computers. And banks, too. It's like, you want to keep this stuff updated, and it's not recommended.
You can use the Windows OSs and not connect them to the internet and have them run in some sort of sandbox mode where it's just your software in particular is what you use. I know mechanics in particular, this is an issue with one of them where a lot of their devices are made with the XP software. So their old proprietary software that hasn't received an update in 10, 15 years, that's still what they're using because it's still the most applicable software that exists, so they have no choice. They have to use these older XP machines. Keeping them off the internet is certainly a pretty important thing, but people still use the technology that they have.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. We need to take a quick commercial break. The phone lines are open. Welcome back to the BLH Show on 92.7 WMAY. The phone lines are open, 217-629-7970. And talking about updates and getting all the updates, Apple released their latest emergency update yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're running the latest iOS, so it's iOS 17.0.1, or if you've got the new iPhone 15, it's 17.0.2. Which is very rare that they release updates just right away, right out of the right out of the gate. But they found, you know, that whole game of cat and mouse. Yep. They found a vulnerability probably in the software, and they're like, we got to release this right away.
Apple in particular are very strict with software. They put software in their components that say yes or no, it's an official Apple product. So they are very, very good with software and security. So to me, what this this article says is for them to release a brand new phone, and within a week or two of it being released, it needs a
major update.
Major security update. That means that they did very thorough testing. They had to have tested this numerous times in numerous ways, and just when there's a difference between if you have 1,000 people testing a device and then you release it to the millions and millions of people worldwide. So somebody found a security vulnerability sometime before or after it was released, and it was big enough that the phones were already in distribution, but they're like, ah, man, this is a big issue, so here is, we need to release this emergency security update. And it is only for the 15s. Any other devices does need to be on that 17.0.1.
Correct.
And that came out, we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the week before. I think it was actually last week we discussed that's a emergency security update.
Right, yeah, they released that emergency security update, and now here it is, they released another one. It's just crazy how much that our devices require this, and you know, and people don't think about that with cars as well, because there's another story this past week where, I mean, your cars, they rely on software.
More and more software,
and this Kia person, her engine failed because there was a software update that was missed.
Yep.
And so she had to pay, the article says, over $7,000.
Yeah.
And when you take your car into the mechanic, you think about the brakes, you think about, you know, maybe a sensor not working right, but you don't think about the software.
Yeah.
And getting it updated. And they said they sent her notices about it, and she'd lived there for years and years and years, and you just don't think about that.
Say, most of the time nowadays with brand newer vehicles, the software is typically updated when you take it in for any kind of service. This vehicle was old enough where it
was a 15, I think.
It wasn't necessarily one that was... It's not new enough that I guess they would have checked the software. The real issue is that they're saying they sent out mail to her twice, that the software update is required, otherwise it voids your warranty.
Right.
I think that's an issue in and of itself. I could potentially see this leading to some kind of class action lawsuit. One of my concerns was, say this woman has this car, she received this mail about the security update, if she did indeed receive it, she never went and had the security update, but what if she sold this vehicle between then and now? So then you, who purchased a car, just purchased as is, the engine fails on it, and it comes to find out it was a security update that was required by the previous owner. So who is at fault then? Or did you just purchase a vehicle that just the warranty was already pre-voided and you just weren't aware of it?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe that would be that. But then again, you purchased it as is. So
I guess so. Yeah.
So then you can't really go back on that person.
Now instead of just looking up any kind of manufacturer recalls on vehicles, let's look at software as well. Are there any software recalls? And software recalls are more about take it to the shop and get this important update. So like what this is.
Yeah. You just don't think about when you take your vehicle and you don't think about that software aspect of it, and it's becoming more and more that it's almost like you need to ask about it.
Yeah, when I think about it in terms of like if I were to purchase a computer, I have the capability, not most business grade computers, but most residential and especially gaming specific grade computers, I can go into the BIOS and I can actually change the amount of electricity that goes between the different components. It's called overclocking.
Right.
So I can make my processor consume more electricity and run processes faster. I can do the same with RAM. If I overclock my machine and I fry any of the components, that's technically my fault. Whereas for this vehicle, it was almost sold in an overclocked phase where they found out later, hey, there's too much gasoline or whatever it is that is going to the engine. Software will change it from 10 to 9, just reduce it enough so that there is no engine failure after an extended period of time. So was it sold in an unacceptable state as it was, or software being introduced so heavily into every single solitary component in these vehicles, it definitely makes it more and more important for you to know the history of the software with it. You can't just purchase a vehicle. You have to know if
the software was updated. Mm-hmm. What's the latest version of the software? I mean, that's going to be like a new question. Maybe it's going to be going on the Carfax
like
now.
Like that Tesla one where the guy purchased the battery. He took it into repair and they're like, oh, hey, we found out that you had more battery than you originally paid for. The guy just got, he jailbroke it. He got around the software restriction of the battery. You're not supposed to have as much battery as you have. So we went ahead and fixed the issue for you. You reduced the amount of battery that I had.
Yeah, so it wasn't an issue.
Yeah, but I'm still carrying the physical component with me, and it's just, this is all based around software.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just code inside the device that tells, you know, with this engine, it didn't exactly say what the issue was, but if it pulls too much electricity from the spark plugs, if the fuel injectors used just the tiniest bit too much fuel, if it doesn't consume enough oil correctly, because electric vehicles, they do require still some kind of oil. It's not motor oil per se. It is slightly different, but electric vehicles do still require oil to run.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not the same as the older vehicles where it's all, you know, mechanical hardware.
Right.
So it's, as long as all the components are built to the right specification, you shouldn't really have any engine failure. Whereas this is the software inside it is telling it to consume too much, so it causes a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just speaking of software, the AI, I wanted to bring up this other story about where somebody breached IT security with AI. They deep faked a voice, all from a link that was sent out to a bunch of IT people in a phishing scam.
Yep, this is your typical story of the weakest link in security is the human element. So unfortunately, they send out 100 emails. If only one person clicks on the URL and enters their information and then actually did a multi-factor authentication, which means that whoever hacked this had at least some previous information.
Right.
So they were able to send a text message to your phone that you had set as your multi-factor authentication. So they knew something going into this, but yeah, it's just one person clicks on the link at the wrong time and enters the wrong information. What was really cool about this, well, not cool, but
it was kind of cool, creepy, but
it is a little creepy. If I were to receive an email from Leo that says, hey, specifically what this was is payroll is having an issue deducting insurance, I guess we'll have to finish it.
Let's talk computer.
Computers and Internet with BLH Computers on 92.7 WMAY, Springfield's News and Talk.
Welcome back to 92.7 WMAY, the BLH show. The phone lines are open.
So just jumping right back into it,
the deepfake.
Yeah, the big issue with the main reason we were discussing the deepfake is because they used the AI to recreate their IT person's voice. And that was the main concerning part, is that they did a voice. They faked their voice. And what I was saying right before the break, if Leo, our general manager, if I get an email from Leo that says, hey, payroll is having an issue deducting health insurance, you just need to correct your information, I would probably go and ask him first and foremost. I wouldn't click on any link that is inside the email, even though I know that that's an email from a trusted source. But if I ignored that email and within a little bit, my phone rang and it said Leo across the top, and I answer it and that's Leo's voice, I know what Leo's voice sounds like. If he's like, hey, did you get my email? We need you to log in and do this information. And especially if I go to log in and it does the multi-factor authentication,
right,
that would make me feel comfortable enough knowing that this is legit. I think he would have to tell me to go to the email and click on the link, which would be a little suspicious, especially because Leo's at the location. I would be able to go and verify myself. That's always the guaranteed best way. If you get an email from somebody or IT wants you to do something, you can verify with them in person a lot of the times.
Right.
And that's the indisputable way of, hey, did you send me this email? Like, no, I didn't send you that email. Okay, well, it's clearly spoofed then.
And then what really got me too is then they were able to add the authentication to their account. They made an account on there, and able to add themselves, and then Google backs that up automatically. Yeah. So now they've got a backup of the hacker's account. This is like, it's almost like a storyline that should be on a movie right here. Yeah. I mean, because this is some crazy stuff that happened with this.
There's a lot of IT stuff that happens, especially recently, that would make for pretty interesting movies. As someone who loves computers and technology, I certainly would be interested. But this is, where was I going with that?
This story, though, I mean, just to think of somebody like you, we were saying just a little bit ago, Leo would be calling you. It's showing up with Leo's number's in your phone. You wouldn't think twice. Oh, this must be legit. This must be a legit thing. He really needs this done, and I have no problem doing that because, I feel very comfortable with this.
Yeah. The big thing that they were doing in that one is they were exploiting a recent update by Google, which is you can access your security codes from different devices as long as you have access to the account. Right. And that is what the multi-factor authenticator looked for, is these codes. So by them just hacking the Google account in general, they were able to get any of the multi-factor codes. So then they could change the multi-factor login information. So any amount of security doesn't necessarily matter if they get the key to the first one, and then that gives them the key to the second one, and then now they have all the keys that they need to take control over anything that they want. Your Gmail or your email is most of the time the most basic way that
hackers get in.
Well, that a lot of accounts verify things. That's where you start by signing up for in the very get-go. So losing your email account in general is typically one of the biggest security breaches. You really don't want to lose your email account almost at all.
Well, and what I typically tell people too is, a lot of times if you sign up with Comcast or a special one, where if you decide later on down the road, they're going to delete your email address. Say you disconnect the service from them. Well, make sure you have a Google account or a Yahoo account, something other than a Comcast account, as a backup, because you could lose that email address, and somebody could sign up and get that email address for them.
Yep. And even if the email address is completely and totally closed, if I send an email out, it just comes back email undeliverable because the email address isn't active. You can, I believe, before the email address is closed, you can do this on that email address, or you can do it on the newer email address. You should be able to set email forwarding, where if somebody types in email address 1 and sends it out, it'll automatically be changed to email address 2 so that you'll get it. So even if they send it to an email address that hasn't existed for 10 years, when this email hits the internet and it's being transferred and routed, they're like, oh, it's supposed to go to email address 1. That email address doesn't exist, but it does say change email address to email address 2. So you do get your emails appropriately. So you can set this stuff up to forward things to where they're going to go, even if you lose them. But it is something you have to do in advance.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something that you have to actively know right. how to do.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, you may not know how to do it. You might have to read into it just a little bit and to figure out how to set that all up. Yep. And, you know, and yeah.
Yep. Definitely. With the latest breaches that we've been talking about, the iOS security issues a week after they come out, the hospital sister St. John stuff with MGM having the data breach recently, this just shows that some of the biggest names in the business, some of the biggest players, will have security vulnerabilities because that's just that ever-changing, ever-evolving game of cat and mouse that we constantly talk about. Security is always trying to get ahead of the hackers who are always trying to figure out how to bypass the security, who then they need to figure out how to fix the security. I mean, one of the Windows 7 and 8 one, were using an out-of-bounds memory write error in order to bypass security.
Right.
It's just, I love computers, but at the same time, I'm like, that's craziness. That is just absurd.
It's amazing to me, too, is how much time these hackers have on their hands to figure this out.
Way more than you and I have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would have never figured this out in a million years, and they're like, boom, and they figure it out in, you know, minutes or a couple days. They figure out there's a way to go in, they can get that information, and maybe not even get caught about it.
I mean, there are some people who go to school to learn this sort of thing. You actually get certifications and you get degrees as far as like security goes. And then there are other people who, I mean, imagine if you have a full month, 30 days, you have literally nothing to do at all for 30 days. You have all the food, your rent is paid, you have no way that you need to concern yourself with groceries or rent, and you don't like to go outside. You want to sit in a room with a computer for 30 consecutive days and just do whatever you want. That gives somebody a lot of time to try and figure out things that they want. And with everything being almost literally anything you would ever want to know is available on YouTube nowadays.
Oh yeah.
You can go and look up almost all of this sort of stuff and
find the video how somebody's probably done it, or maybe they've done something very similar in what you're trying to do. And then you take that and replicate that and then you figure out what you want to get done, and wow.
Yeah,
there
so some people definitely have a lot more time on their hands to try and figure out those backdoors and D-days to this sort of software, and sometimes it's just an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the one that was the FaceTime issue where the kid was just randomly pushing buttons and widgets and slides on his phone, and it created some kind of error that allowed him access to... it was whoever he was FaceTiming. It gave certain information. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was quite a while ago we talked about it.
Yeah.
But that person reported it, and of the time there's bounties for these. Yeah.
Yeah, they got money for it. And then there was a PlayStation one, too, where they were playing against each other, and the kid hit something, and he was able to see the camera on the other side, and was able to do all kinds of things on the console. Totally, he wasn't trying. It just happened.
It just happened,
He hit the right combination of buttons that gave him the access for it.
Yep.
And it's things like that, you know, and it's the things where you got to be protected. You got to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And especially back to the data breaches, like you were just saying, the MGM and the St. John's and everything. I mean, it's always a good idea to make sure that you have a credit lock on your credit, because they're out there, they're trying to get your personal data.
Yeah.
So if they do get it, it makes it basically a two-factor authentication where they can't just easily access that.
Yeah, Brian talks about keeping his credit frozen at all points and times because he knows if he ever wants to use it for something, so he will go and have it unfrozen, use it, and then refreeze it again.
Yeah, and that's how I do it, too. I go on to the three sites and do that. I'll unfreeze it, unthaw it for a day or two, and then I'll go freeze it back because...
It's those opposite scales of convenience and security. It certainly is inconvenient to have to call your bank or go to those three services and unfreeze your credit, but that is the most secure way to ensure your credit never gets stolen.
Right, or... And yeah, exactly. Because somebody, or if another thing too is somebody, maybe they accidentally put the wrong social security number in. Yep. Well, you're going to get hit. If it's your social security, you're going to get hit on that. Yep. And you may not know that until you go to apply for a house. Hey, well, why was my credit access back on such and such a day? And why does it have this name on there? Because that actually happened to me. Yeah. I'm like, so exactly. So it's a way to keep yourself protected too. Yep. And again, with the having yourself protected like that, then that way you're not getting that ding on your credit or whatnot. And you've got that two-factor essentially on there.
Which actually, that's more thorough than the two-factor, because like the Google one that we talked about, they implemented a new convenience feature. Oh. It certainly is convenient if I need to log into a different device and get my multi-factor authentication codes. But if somebody hacks my account in general, they can access those codes. And that's what happened in this particular instance.
Right, because it went to the backup, and then they just went and got it off the backup.
Yep, so they would have gotten this person's account. It might not have amounted to anything, but they got the multi-factor, so they were actually able to change it. So now they don't need to have that person log into any multi-factor authentication stuff because they just have access to it from wherever they are remotely.
Wow.
So giving up that security for that convenience, it is a balancing act. Certainly nobody wants to have everything be, you know, just difficult and irritating, but
because we want it all easy. I mean,
everybody wants it easy.
I feel like, you know, you get in your car, you just want your phone to connect. You don't want to have to put in 1, 2, 3, 4, for instance, to connect your phone to the Bluetooth.
Yep.
But it's almost coming to like you need some sort of security on that even.
Yep.
To make sure that you're connecting to your car.
One of the easiest things that you can do is anything that you have a credit card linked to, any purchase that needs authorized requires you typing in your password.
Yep.
That's how I have my Apple account set, and it certainly can be inconvenient if I purchase one song and type in my password. I purchase the second song, I have to type in my password again. I purchase the third song, I have to type in my password for the third time. But I would prefer it to be inconvenient because it's more secure. Nobody can necessarily try to purchase things through my account without actually knowing and typing in my password multiple times.
And the thing about it is, too, you're in control. You know, hey, I actually purchased this song. I actually purchased that, you know, versus it automatically just doing it.
Yep.
Or the toddler who got the mom's phone a few.
That's,
you know,
my biggest reason.
You know, 360 cheeseburgers. Was hungry, you know?
So my kids can't purchase video games or stuff while they're just playing with my phone.
All right, well, we need to take a quick commercial.
WMAY.
Springfield's news and talk.
Welcome back to 92.7 WMAY, the BLH show. The phone lines are open, 217-629-7970. And I wanted to bring up price hikes. It seems like every week or every other week, we talk about something going up in price. Dish Network, they're going up by $5.
Yep.
Starting next month, I believe it is, with their price hikes. And you were looking at the prices of them, and some of these prices of their packages are crazy high. I didn't realize, what was it?
$20. I think this is an annual cost, but still $60, $120 annually is just...
Sure. Unless you're in the, I guess it's the price lock guarantee that they have, or there's another one that they have, price lock or preferred customer, they won't change your price until your contract expires.
Yeah, but I wonder how long of a contract they gave you, because I haven't had Dish in, I don't know how long. It's just another streaming service. It's just one of the older ones. It's satellite streaming service, so there's a lot of quality content on there, but with the streaming service exodus that's basically happening, there's so many different choices to choose from now, and a lot of the media that has been on these ones has started their own. So like HBO now has their own. That's in addition to like the Amazon, to Netflix, to Hulu, to Peacock, let's see, who else? There's so many. There's Shudder is a horror specific one. So I mean, there's
and there's so many free ones too that you can watch plenty of television. You just named Tubi, I think.
Yep.
And what was there's one that starts with X. XUMO. I think is the other one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
They're another big free one. There's a lot of free stuff. And then you were just saying Amazon. Amazon's actually going to raise their price as well if you want to watch the video stuff. If you don't want the ads.
You don't want ads.
Right.
And that's what irritates me is I don't mind the free services having ads. If you're paying for a service, I don't think you should be forced to watch ads. But this is Amazon Prime. You pay for it and you get ads, or you pay a little bit more and you don't get ads. And it's just... I think it's ridiculous. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, because is that the only thing that this $2.99, and is it $2.99 a month? Is it $2.99
annual? Month.
Okay.
Yep.
That's why I was like, well, I guess another $2.99 a year would be bad, but if it's per month, then oh no, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But that's what they're doing. And instead of saying it's if it's $3, instead of saying it's $36 annually, it's $2.99 per month. So they're just taking these up by $5, by $3. These are short little increases, but we talked a couple weeks ago about how Disney Plus has gone from, what was it, $6.99, I think, when it first started.
Yeah.
And now it's like $12.99, $13.99, something like that. So it's over doubled in price and just these little incremental increases over the past couple years. And I don't spend too much time watching these shows, so I don't know the exact difference in the quality of content from then and now, but I mean, Disney Plus has always had a massive catalog of content.
Yeah.
So if they're adding more, it's adding a drop to the bucket. And whereas Dish says that they're raising their price it was Amazon that said they were raising their prices in order to continue acquiring quality content because they spent like $7 billion on original shows last year. Well, if those original shows aren't netting a profit, I don't think the customers should be forced to pay for that.
Right. They shouldn't. It should be if anything, it should be lowering the price, not incrementing the price like that, you know, because like you said, you pay for the service, you shouldn't have to pay for the ads.
Yeah.
With it. It should be without ads. And
but
that's
ads are everywhere and in everything, and they are being built into Windows OSs at this point in time. And
oh, yeah.
They are practically impossible to get around. You can use ad blocks to some extents, but then there are services that completely bypass the ad block programs. There are some where the ads are built into the stream itself, so there's no pop-up or ad to even block. It's just it's like you're watching a commercial on TV.
Right.
So like the a lot of the sports packages do that where in between certain events there'll be an built-in ingrained advertisement that you just accept it.
Sure. I also wanted to bring up AT&T made the first ever 5G satellite call in Maui, I believe it was. Yep. It's a dead zone there.
Yep.
That's interesting how much that the technology and satellites now are being able to connect the cell phones, give it service where you couldn't normally get service before.
Yep, we talked about that a couple weeks ago about there are, I think, four different companies now who are trying to create their own satellite network in low orbit that will transfer over these 5G waves. So,
Amazon was one of them, I think we talked about.
Amazon was one of them. I don't remember who all they were. I know SpaceX was one of them as well. Starlink, I think, is what they
Starlink,
called it.
Yes, Starlink. Yes, absolutely.
But I like it for the ability to have communication in these areas where they're currently, this was a dead zone. So this was somewhere where there's no cell phone service at all. If you're in a certain area in Maui, you cannot call the outside world. There's the infrastructure's not there. So whether it's an environmental factor that you can't build the infrastructure, whether it be because of the environment itself or just because of certain preservation.
Sure. Well, it might be too. It might be just like a rural area, like a lot of these farm grounds we've talked about, where all these combines and tractors, they use that GPS, and the GPS, there is no way for the GPS to connect because there is no service.
Yeah.
So this would be a good way to provide them service to be able to know what they're doing or how that's programmed for.
So even though we're sending waves out, they do only go a certain distance before they sort of dissipate and evaporate. So it's kind of nice that they were able to make this call, and that it's showing that we have, there's real application in using this 5G network over satellite service, so we won't have to build towers anymore here in areas like you were just talking. It's nice that you would have cell phone connectivity, but the GPS and having your electronics function according to the rest of the world is pretty reassuring.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I also wanted to bring back too, we had talked earlier on about Apple and iOS 17. I want to talk about some of the new features too that people may not be aware of with Apple TV. Apparently you can now FaceTime with it. That was one of the cool little features.
I actually liked this one quite a bit. If you have an Apple 4K TV, you can transfer your FaceTime video directly to the TV. They did say in this first iteration that the input camera will be from your phone.
Right.
So once they start implementing more cameras into TVs, you know it's only a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to do video calls from a television, from a monitor.
Well, that's very cool. How do they get a hold of you?
So you can call us at 585-1580. You can see us at 1832 Stevenson Drive. We are open 10 to 5 today. Our Jacksonville location, 426 South Main is open 10 to 5 as well. Our Taylorville location at 123 West Main Cross is closed on Saturdays.